In my former book, Theophilus, would you just say Theophilus? Say it again, Theophilus. Awesome. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to say thank you again for your word. I want to say thank you in spite of the design of the enemy all down through time to destroy your word, both verbally and written. I thank you that you have protected, you have preserved it. I thank you that it is as alive and powerful today as the moment you breathed it. Men heard you, captured it. I thank you, Lord, you have given us your spirit to understand and to grasp the truth of your word. Father, before we begin today, I ask for a fresh anointing. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would take literal possession of my mind and my mouth, that I would only say those things I hear you say and do those things that I see you do. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and steal and pervert the word that's going to be sown. I command you to be silent, to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again that you are speaking and we are hearing your voice. I thank you that today you're going to be saying things that are not going to come out of my mouth, and your children will hear it. They will know that it's you. They will believe it and be obedient to it. And so I say thank you in advance. This word will not return void, but it will accomplish. In the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody in agreement said, amen. This morning I want to share with you something that over the 40 plus years of my Christian walk, I have run across, I've thought about, I began making lists about over the years, but I have never actually taken the time to dive into until these last number of weeks leading up to today. Can I ask you a question? And first of all, how many of you took the time last Monday to go outside actually and look at the eclipse? How many of you did that? Just raise your hand, would you? Yeah, probably about a half a dozen. How was it? Just really quick. What did it look like? Boring? Anybody else? Huh? Boring? Really? Really? I didn't go out. How many of you actually saw it on TV? That's where you saw it. You saw the picture of the total eclipse. Yeah. I just asked, there it is there. How's that boring? Maybe in our side there was only 23%. From here they say 23% of the sun was covered, and so there was only a little chunk. I guess a rat bite is totally different than the whole thing, right? That's the deal. A few weeks ago, thanks for shooting it up, Gary. A few weeks ago, Jane and I were listening, or Jane was listening to a podcast. I'd not heard it with her. I'm not even sure who it was who was speaking. I could probably go back and find it. But when she listened to it, she came and she said, Carl, you really got to listen to this one. She goes, I think you would find it fascinating. And so I said, okay. She sent it to me a few days later while I was washing eggs. I turned it on. I was listening to it. And there was a pile of interesting things in there, but there was one thing that just jumped out at me that this guy was speaking about. And I got to tell you, part of it is because he approached it outside of my box of thinking. He touched something that had never crossed my mind before. He drew attention to some of the references in the Bible talking about the 40 days and the 40 years, and that's something I have often thought about. That's what I had made lists about, wanted to get into. But then he asked the question, and he said this. He said, as I began looking at that, he said, I asked the question, what happens on day 41? Now, I had not thought about that. He goes, what happens after 40 days on the 41st day? He goes, what happens after the 40 years on the 41st year? I had never thought about that. When you begin listening to a few examples from Scripture, I knew what he was talking about. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You know it. I had just never thought about it in order to ask that question in other circumstances as well. Let me give you one example. How many years did the Israelites spend in the wilderness? 40 years. What happened on year 41? Promised land. That's exactly right. Let me ask you this. How many days did Jesus fast and pray in the wilderness? How many days? 40 days. What happened on day 41? What happened? He began preaching. He began his ministry. He came into the wilderness full of the Spirit. After 40 days, he went out of the wilderness in the empowerment of the Spirit, and he began his ministry. We know the answer. But I had never thought about it in terms of asking the question and looking at it with the lens, day 41, year 41, what happens right after 40? And then he went into the eclipse. Going back, can anybody tell me how long ago the last eclipse took place? Anybody? 2017, exactly right. So we talked about the eclipse. He said, using this, he goes, the eclipse happened on this date. He goes, 40 days. He goes, what happened on day 41? It was kind of interesting. He said, on day 41, he said it was the Day of Atonement after that eclipse. And so then he said, this eclipse happening April 8th, 2024. This thing had been talked about by who knows how many people at all levels. I mean, spiritual, political, astrological, the whole deal. But he asked the question. He said, 40 days after this eclipse, day 41, he goes, what might that be? Anybody know? Day of Pentecost. And so then he was looking at that. Now, I got to say, it was interesting to hear his thoughts. In 34 days, we'll find out if all that he was talking about takes place. I think on April 8th, on Monday, not a lot of us were expecting some. Some were expecting some big things. We just carried on like Y2K and everything goes on. But it'll be interesting in 34 days to find out if what he was talking about. But in light of this, the Holy Spirit used it to awaken inside of me the season that we're in, and we just finished celebrating the death and resurrection of our Lord, and the focus now during this time is on the time that he was here on earth before he left earth and went to heaven. And let me begin by asking you a question. You already know it. We talked about it. How long was Jesus here on earth after his resurrection until he lifted off? And I'm going to do this sometime. I have often thought on Ascension Sunday it'd be great if I had invisible ropes that were attached to me, and while I was preaching, I just lifted up. Wouldn't that be cool? One day, if the rapture happens while we're here, and if I'm preaching, I'm going first because I'm standing, and then you guys are coming after. Actually, the dead will come first, and then I'll go, and then you guys will go. I think that's the biblical order. But how many days from resurrection to ascension? How many? 40 days. We know that. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the things that took place in that 40 days. But today, I would like you to do a bit of a study with me in this area. Are you open? We're going to do some writing. I'm going to throw some things at you. How many of you have your notepad and your pen? How many of you? Yeah, you're putting your hand up for your wife. That's awesome. How many of you are not prepared to write anything down at all? You're not prepared. Okay, you have 2 minutes to get prepared while I'm carrying on here. Get your notepad and your pen. I want to cover some ground. Looking at something I'd never completed before, and I'd still not totally complete, but way more than before, looking at the 40s in the Bible. The 40 days in the Bible, the 40 years in the Bible. And while we are doing this, there are two questions that I want us to continually look at. And this, I want this just to be in your head. You can write this down. But the two questions is this. Why 40? On all of them, I would like us to ask the question, why 40? We're going to ask that. And we can also ask the question, day 41, year 41. Now, can I just ask, how many of you have ever done a study on the 40s in the Bible? Just raise your hand. Ever done a full study on the 40s? Anybody? Nobody. So let me just say this. This will hopefully will awaken something. It's not totally exhaustive and complete. But I hope it awakens something. I want you to hear this. There is over 150 times in the Bible the 40s are talked about. Over 150 times. 24 of those are 40 days and nights. We're not going to look at all of them. 24 of them are 40 days and nights. There are some who say that each time there is a 40, that it denotes a significance from God to his people. There is something that God is saying to his people in the 40 days or in the 40 years. Let's look at some. We're going to shoot these on the screen because you'll be able to read the writing on there way better. Would you just write down number one, Noah? Genesis chapter 7, verse 14. Just so you know, this morning, I'm going to be asking you questions, and all of you will know the answers to them because it's either 40 days or 40 years. So that is the answer to all the questions this morning. Is there anybody here who believes they'll get anything wrong? Just raise your hand. No. All the answers are 40. You can't get it wrong. 40 days. Genesis 7:12, the rain fell on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. Here's the question I want you to think about. Why 40? Let me ask you this. Who chose the rain to come for 40 days and nights? Who did that? God did. Why didn't God do 38? Why didn't God do 43? I want you to think about, there's a reason why the vast majority of mathematicians in this world are believers. Do you know why? Because numbers are exact. There is nothing loose about it. There is no gray area with numbers. They look at the exactness of numbers. They go, this can't happen by evolution or chance. There's a reason they believe in God, because God is a God of numbers. But I want you to think, why 40? And then I want you to think, what happened on the 41st day? Now, I wish I could say they landed on Mount Ararat on the 41st day. That didn't happen. I wish I could say all the water disappeared one day. That didn't happen. But I want you to think, on the 41st day, after it stopped raining from above and below, what happened on day 41? That happened a lot later, actually. Whoever said that? The sun shone. That is true. The farmers complained they didn't have enough rain. Wow, that could be true. That could be true. The statement is they'll complain regardless, right? Thank you, Gene. Would you write down number two? Would you write down Moses? How many years was Moses raised as an Egyptian? 40 years. How many years was he in the wilderness when he ran away? 40 years. How many years was he with the Israelites when they were wandering through the wilderness? 40 years. When he first led the people out of Egypt, and God led them to Mount Sinai, and God allowed him to go up into the mountain, can I ask you, how many days and nights was he up there with God? 40. I told you all the answers are 40. Exodus 24, verse 18. Up there, 40 days, 40 nights. And after the 40 days, what did God give him on day 41? The Ten Commandments. God gave him the commandments. I just want you to hear this. Would you just write down Deuteronomy 9? Deuteronomy 9:9. 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, he fasted. End of the 40 days, he got the tablets. He came down, he saw the sin in the camp. What did Aaron do? I love Aaron's explanation. I took all their gold, threw it in the fire, and out popped a calf. Okay, this is the leader of Israel, the priest, high priest, by the way. Came down, saw they were worshiping, and what did Moses do with the tablets? We know it. Smashed them. Then it says this, verse 18, for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses fell on his face and fasted before God so he would not destroy the people. Verse 25. When they finally got to the promised land, he sent the people in. They came out with a bad report. They decided not to go in. They rebelled against God. The Bible says this, verse 40, 25 of Deuteronomy 9, Moses again fasted 40 days and 40 nights so God would not destroy the people of Israel. 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights at the bottom of Sinai. 40 days and 40 nights after they rebelled in the promised land. Then Deuteronomy 10:10, Moses went back up to the mountain for another 40 days and nights and got a second set of tablets. Do you remember that? There's a lot of 40 surrounding Moses. Question is, why 40? And question again, on all of those, what happened on day 41? Let me tell you quickly, when he fasted on day 41, God said, I won't destroy them because of you. Would you write down number 3? Write down spies. After God led the people of Israel to the promised land, Moses sent in the spies to check out what kind of land. How many days were the spies in the land of Egypt? 40 days, you're right, you can't go wrong. Just say 40, regardless of what, just say 40, even if you don't know what I'm asking, just say 40. Thank you. Numbers 13, 25, 40 days. Ask the question, why were they in the promised land 40 days? And let me ask you, what happened on the 41st day? We know what happened. They came back, 2 gave a good report, 10 gave a evil report. And that set the whole course for the next 40 years of their life. Would you write down number 4? Would you write down wilderness? After they rebelled, we all know this. How many years were the Israelites in the wilderness? 40 years. On the 41st year, we know they entered the promised land. But the question is, why 40 years in the wilderness? Why 40 years? Anybody know? Specifically, why? What did God say? Say it again. Yes, the generation that rebelled, every one of them above 20 had to die. But here's what he said. The number of years in the wilderness is determined by the number of days that you were in the promised land looking at what I had promised you and you rejected it. So for every day in the promised land, you have a year in the wilderness. The 40 days translated into 40 years. And I want you to look at this. I'm just going to read this for you. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we don't have to ask the question about what those 40 years was all about because God tells us incredibly clearly. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 8, 2-5. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way through the desert for 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. I just want to get this clear here. When we start talking about God's 40, I want you to begin understanding that God often uses the 40 in people's lives to find out what is in here. Whether or not you'd keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna. We're going to talk about that sometime. God caused them to hunger. God caused them to get to a place where there was no water. That was God's doing. We're not going to go there today. Which neither you nor your fathers had known to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as man disciples his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Might there be something in that 40 years concerning our heart, our relationship with Him, and the Lord's loving discipline? By the way, just on the side, what is the name of the book of the Bible that actually talks about the Israelites going through the wilderness, coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, promised land, all of that? What's the book in the Bible that captures it all? Exodus. That's right, the book of Exodus. The other ones later, they'll talk about it. Moses talks about it later, book of Exodus. Can I ask you one question? What do you think the only book of the Bible is that has 40 chapters? Exodus. 40. Sorry. You're right. 40. Ushers, take her out, would you? Yeah. Exodus is the only book of the Bible that has 40 chapters. Who wrote the Bible? Who inspired it? God breathed it. Who is the one who said, I want the book that talks about the exodus of my people and all of that wilderness? I want that book alone. In all the 66, I want it to have 40 chapters, because we're talking about 40 over and over and over. Only book of the Bible. Coincidence? God incidents? Let me just give you one other one here. How many books in the Bible, by the way? How many books? 66. Don't say 40. I was wrong on that one. Okay. 66 books. 39 in the old. How many in the new? 27. You're right. How many authors wrote the 66 books of the Bible? 40. 40. One through 40 men. 38 in the old, 8 in the new. 40 authors wrote the entire Bible. Would you write down? Number 5, would you write down Gideon? Judges chapter 8, verse 28. We know the story of Gideon. This was a great one. The last time we went to Africa, I asked all of the team to prepare a 15-minute message and give it. And Brother Ron preached on Gideon and spoke on that. Still remember that message. Awesome. How many years did Gideon serve as leader in Israel, giving Israel peace from their enemies? How many years? 40 years. In fact, let me tell you how many judges served for 40 years. Othniel served for 40 years. Deborah served for 40 years. Barak served for 40 years. Eli served for 40 years. Gideon served for 40 years. And when you have the time, I want you to look at each of those judges, how God used them in that 40 years. I just want to give you one really quick. Eli. How many of you know the name Eli, the prophet? Eli? How many of you know? Yeah. Who was the famous little prophet who was mentored under Eli? What was his name? Samuel. That's right. Hannah. We know the story. When they went to Jerusalem, Hannah was in the temple crying. Eli is the one who came with spiritual discernment and said, "Woman, it's too early to be drunk." That was his discernment. Right? Hannah goes, "I am not drunk." She goes, "I am crying out to God for Him to open my womb and give me a baby." She didn't say that, but that's what she said. "I am not drunk. I am crying out to God." Eli, without even knowing, led by the Holy Spirit, said, "Whatever your desire is, you'll have it." She went home after years of being barren. She got pregnant. Hannah made this statement. She said, "Eli, if what you say is true, I will dedicate that child to you." Can I tell you, this is the only place in Scripture where we have an actual dedication. What is dedication? Hannah said, "If this child is born, I will take this child, I will raise it up until it's weaned, then I will take it back to the church. I'll leave it at the temple with Samuel." That is why I do not believe in dedication, because I don't want any children coming to the church and left here for me to raise. That is why. Eli, 1 Samuel 4:18, just write it down. He was the priest. Little Samuel, when he was at the temple, you remember the story. Little Samuel was sleeping. All of a sudden he woke up and he heard, "Samuel." What did Samuel do? He gets up. He runs over to Eli. He says, "Here I am, sir, master. What do you want?" Eli goes, "I didn't call you." He goes back again. God speaks again. Samuel runs again 3 times. The last time Eli finally said, "Samuel," he realized what was going on. He said, "Samuel, next time, don't run to me. Just say, 'Here I am, Lord. What do you want to say?'" God spoke to Samuel again. Samuel woke up and he said, "Here I am, God. What do you want to say?" And God began speaking into Samuel's life as a little boy. Can I just say this? We're in a day where I believe God is training and teaching through godly parents their children who are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age to hear the voice of God with clarity. It was my job as a parent to teach my children how to hear God's voice. That was my job. I can't tell you the amount of times when my kids would come and ask me a question. They'd go, Dad, can we do this? And I'd say, have you prayed about it? They go, no. I'd say, I want you to go back and I want you to ask the Lord. They go, Dad, you hear better than I do. Just tell me. Can I tell you, if I would have answered their questions, I would have aborted the process of them hearing the voice of God for themselves. No parent should answer a child's question. They should send them to God. And my kids would go, oh, Dad. And they would go, and I say, when you go, you come back, tell me what God said, I'll tell you what God said, and we'll find out if we can meet. There's a pile of kids who were raised, were never sent by their parents to go and learn how to hear the voice of God. And that is why as adults, we got to struggle with it as adults, whereas a child, it is so much easier. Can I tell you, up in that classroom, there are little kids every Sunday talking about what God told them, praying over each other, what God told them to pray. I believe that generation is being raised up before the end, because an adult generation that can't hear the Lord is going to be in trouble in the last days. It's got to be a generation that He raises up, and I believe it's the spiritual same. All of the adults in the wilderness died, and that whole new generation of young ones came up. They entered the promised land. Can I tell you? I believe it's going to be that young generation that's here when the rapture happens. That's why I'm not convinced it's tomorrow. Would you write down number 6? Would you write down Philistines? Some of you who aren't writing are way smarter than I am. I couldn't even remember 1 and 2 by now. Philistines, Judges chapter 13, verse 1. Sometime after Gideon, only 6 chapters, I don't know how many years that was, delivered. After Gideon delivered the people from the Philistines, they sinned again. God allowed the Philistines to come and conquer them and rule over them. Can I ask you a question you know the answer to? How many years was Israel under Philistine rule? 40 years. Disciplined 40 years. What happened on year 41? They were delivered. I want you to think about, there is something about after a season of 40, in 41, there is something new. There is a deliverance. There is a freedom. We'll get to that in a bit. Would you write down number 7? Egypt. Ezekiel 29 verse 11, this is a little out of chronology, but Ezekiel prophesied against Egypt. And I want to read this. Everybody is familiar with Ezekiel 37, right? 38, right? But I want you to hear Ezekiel 29. Listen what it says. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will bring a sword against you and kill your men and your animals. Egypt will be desolate, will be a desolate wasteland. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Because of you, the Nile is mine, I made it. Therefore, I am against you and against your streams, and I will make the land of Egypt a ruin and a desolate waste from Migdol to Aswan, as far as the border of Cush. No foot of man or animal will pass through it. No one will live there for how many years? 40 years. I will make the land of Egypt desolate among the devastated lands, and her cities will lie desolate 40 years among ruined cities. I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations, scatter them through the countries. Yet this is what the Sovereign Lord says, at the end of 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the nations where they were scattered, and I will bring them back from their captivity. That is a word over Egypt. Would you write down number 8? Would you write down Kings? Number 8? Oh, you got that? Oh, this will be easy. Look on there. Who is Israel's first king? Saul. Who is Israel's second king? David. Who is Israel's third king? Let me ask you a question. Any idea how long Saul reigned? 40 years. Acts chapter 13, 21, 40 years. The second king was David. Let me ask you a question. How long did David reign? 40 years. The third king was who? Solomon. Oh, David, by the way, 2 Samuel 5, 4. Solomon. Any idea how long Solomon reigned? 40 years. You're right. Saul was 40. David was 40. Solomon was 40. Can I ask you a question? Do you think God determined how long they reigned? Why 40? Why 40? This is God. This is the God of numbers. This is the God. Why 40? Would you write down number 9? Would you write down Goliath? 1 Samuel 17:16. How many of you on that trip to Israel, we stood in the valley where the Israelites and the Philistines fought and where David killed Goliath? How many of you were there? Yeah. We stood in that valley. I picked up 5 stones from that valley, brought them home. Philistines on one side, Israelites on the other side. How many days? The Bible says in the morning Goliath came out, he taunted the Israelites. In the evening he came out, taunted the Israelites, calling for their champion to come out. How many days did Goliath do that until... Oh, how many days did Goliath do that? 40 days. What happened on day 41? Goliath lost his head. The Israelites championed. Day 41, David goes up with a stone, tucks off his head. The Israelites conquer the Philistines. He takes the head back, takes his sword, and God begins to do something in David's life that eventually catapulted him into kingship. Why did God allow him to do that 40 days before David showed up? Why? And day 41 was a good day. Would you write down number 10? Would you write down Elijah? 1 Kings 19:8. We know that Elijah was the one who took on the prophets of Baal. Does anybody know how many prophets of Baal? This is not a 40. Anybody know how many prophets of Baal? 450. There was a second group of prophets that were killed. They were the prophets of the idol who? Asherah, that's right. Anybody know how many prophets of Asherah that day? 400. So here's Elijah, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah. Let them go at their sacrificing and the whole deal all day long, cutting, doing the whole thing. And then what does Elijah do? We know this. Elijah comes up. He says, pour water on it. He said, pour water on it again. He goes, pour water on it again. I just want to make a point here. After the thing was saturated, after the ground was saturated, the whole deal, Elijah just prays. Fire comes down, sucks up the altar, sucks up the sacrifice, sucks up all the water. And then Elijah goes down and kills 850 prophets. He kills them, 850 prophets. Now I want you to hear something really clearly. We're not going to talk about this today. Is there power in the words of a woman? Do women have the ability to speak and send men reeling? Should I preach on that one day, men? Isn't it the craziest thing that after that victory, after 850 prophets are dead, the false prophets are dead, Jezebel speaks a word that triggers fear inside of Elijah and he runs. You want to talk about the power of a Jezebel spirit? But here's the deal. He runs. He finds himself under a tree. He goes, God, take my life. Kill me. And then he fell asleep. God woke him up, sent an angel, fed him, he falls asleep. Angel comes, shook him awake again, feeds him. Says, Elijah, I want you to go to Mount Horeb. Here's the question. In the power of the food that he ate from God, he ran to Horeb. How long did it take him to get there? 40 days and 40 nights. And when he got to Mount Horeb, this is the famous where God walks past him. This is where he did not come with the fire, the rain, the storm, the whole deal, but the still small voice. That's where all that happened. In the power of God, 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah ran to Mount Horeb. Would you write down number 11? Would you write down Jonah? We know the story. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Call them to repent. They're a sinful city. What did Jonah do? In obedience, he ran the other way. Got on the ship. Storm happened. Eventually admitted it was him. They threw him overboard. The fish comes, swallows him. 3 days in the fish. In the fish, he repents. Can I just encourage you, don't wait to the fish to repent. Can I encourage you? There's a good sermon there. After 3 days, the fish takes him, pukes him up on the shore by Nineveh. Jonah gets up. He goes to Nineveh. And he goes in the city and he begins to preach a word of judgment from God over Nineveh. And he says, Nineveh, unless you repent, in how many days will you be destroyed? 40 days. Can I ask you a question? Why 40 days? I would have nuked them on that day. That's why I'm not God. I want you to think about, when we talk about 40, there is an element of not just judgment, there is an element of God's grace in 40. There is an element of God's empowerment in 40. And it didn't take 40 days for the Ninevites to repent, sackcloth and ashes, and that ticked Jonah off. He goes under the tree, and he wants to die because Nineveh repented. Isn't that quite a group of prophets that God had? They all have a victory, and then they want to die. Would you write down number 12? Would you write down Jesus? And again, I'm telling you, this is not exhaustive in the Old Testament. I'm just bringing the highlights that you know. Let's look at Jesus for a second. At the very beginning of his ministry, we talked about this, Luke chapter 4, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, 40 days of fasting. I want you to hear this. God called Moses repeatedly into 40 days of fasting. God called Elijah multiple into 40 days of fasting. I'm not going to talk about this, but also, God also called Elijah to lay on his side as a statement of judgment for 40 days. We won't go there. When Jesus went into the wilderness, it was for 40 days. I want you to understand, okay, this is not by mistake. The God of numbers chose 40, 40, 40 to do something in the lives of his people. What happened on the 41st day? He entered his ministry. We talked about that. Before he was crucified, Jesus, when the Romans took him and they were accusing him, how many times was Jesus whipped before he went to the cross? 40. Let me tell you why. Deuteronomy 25:3. Would you write it down? The law was they were not allowed to whip anybody more than 40 times because after that, their death was guaranteed. It was limited to 40. We know the whips of the Romans did not kill Jesus, but he received 40 lashes. Can I just ask you, why 40? Why? When he rose from the dead, the days from the time that he rose until he ascended into heaven, we talked about that, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, 40 days. He appeared to the disciples, appeared to the women at the tomb, appeared to over 500 people during that period of time. On the 41st day, he lifted off the ground and he went to heaven. Question for you. How many years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus was the nation of Israel destroyed? 40. 40 years. You think any of this is chance, church? I want to ask you, and I want you to think about this, when we look at the 40 days and these 40 years accounts, remember these were God's doing, this was his instruction, it was his timing. We have to ask the question, why 40? What does 40 represent? I want you to take that and wrestle with it. I want to give you just a few that some who have spent a pile of time and looking at this and studying and waiting on God. Let me give you just a few of what some of them come up with. They go, 40 brings new life. 40, transformation. 40, a holy season. A new generation arising. That's coming out of the wilderness. Cleansing, the old dies, the new life comes. There are some who go, 40 days is the time of drawing close to God, 40 days. By the way, don't know if you knew this. 40 is the only number in the English language where the letters all appear in alphabetical order. It's the only number in the English language. Check it out. This past Wednesday, as Dr. Group was talking, he talked a lot about the power of fasting and what fasting does, talked about how God uses that as probably the best and most potent detoxing that our body can have. Something that used to happen years ago in Christian life almost doesn't happen today. Ask the question that evening, how many people have fasting as a part of their Christian life? Not a single person put their hand up. That's just reality where we live today. But talking about the power of the 40-day fast, the power of experiencing God sustaining you spiritually, physically, in that intimate walk with God, 40 days. Next week, we're going to look at some of what Jesus in that 40-day period of time did. But I want to ask you, as we leave here today, I want to ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to begin speaking to you during this season, this 40-day period, resurrection to ascension. Allow God to speak to you about, God, what is it about 40? And how does this apply to me? I want to encourage you to go back and look at, and like I said, this is not exhaustive. You're going to go into Scripture, you're going to find more 40s, you're going to find more 40 days and nights, more 40 years, and just ask the question, God, why 40? And then ask the question, day 41. I will say this, by the way, and I think it powerfully came out on Wednesday evening. I really believe that we're entering into a season where God is calling His true church back into the privilege of fasting. I don't think the traditional church will ever go there again. I don't think the liberal church will ever go there. I don't think the woke church will ever go there. I don't think the social gospel church will ever go there. I believe God is calling His true church back into the discipline and the privilege of fasting. I believe that's happening. Would you bow with me? Let's end in prayer today. Father, I want to say thank you again for your word. And I want to say thank you that you are a God of specifics. You are a God of numbers. You are a God who does nothing by chance and happenstance, but you are deliberate and intentional. And I thank you, Father, as we look at your word, I thank you that over and over and over and over again, we see how you use the number 40 in days and years to accomplish your purpose in this earth journey. I pray, Father, in this season that we're in, the 40 days, as we look at and celebrate your resurrection, Jesus, and your ascension, I pray that you would cause things to come alive in these 40 days that maybe have never before. And was asked today, Lord, how does this apply to me? What are you doing? What are you speaking into my life in the area of 40 that I might be missing and I need to step into? And I just want to release today. I prophetically declare that there is a move of the Spirit in our lives to begin to enter into the intimacy and the power of prayer and fasting in these days that we are in. I remind Jesus when the disciples came, having tried to cast out the demons in that boy, you said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. There is a power release that is needed in these days. Father, awaken us and plant a hunger. And I say thank you in advance for the impact it's going to make. Church, would you stand with me and receive the blessing of the Lord today? As a child of God, I declare to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you full of his peace in this world. I declare that in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving it said, amen. God bless you, church. We'll all be out of here in 40 minutes. And enjoy the week.